living with Jesus had to be filled with surprises. Think about it. I tend to picture the disciples standing in the background when Jesus is in the foreground, and all 12 of them scratching their heads, saying, "What in the world is he doing?" It had to be amazing, absolutely astounding. Today's gospel lesson is an example of that. If we go back just a few verses in that text, we see Jesus getting into a boat, ready to cross into the Sea of Galilee, going over to the territory of the Gerasenes. They get in the boat. They set sail. And about halfway out, the wind starts blowing, the waves start waving. And the disciples get scared. They decide, okay, I'm going to... We got to wake Jesus up. We're going to perish. And that's what they do. Jesus, Jesus, wake up. He gets up. Figures out what's going on. Commands the wind to stop. And the waves to stop waving. I got to figure out a word there. I'm missing one. At any rate, here they are, out in the middle of the Red Sea. The Sea of Galilee. Here they are, out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and their reaction to Jesus calming the waters is rather fascinating. Who is this that even the water and the wind obey him? You can see them scratching their heads as they ask that question. Well, Jesus is going to the region of the Gerasenes. Like I said, it's a region, though, and this you may not realize, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee from where they were, it was a region that was Gentile. And the people there raised pigs. Now, if you remember your Jewish history at all, you know that pigs were an unclean animal. Jewish people were forbidden to eat that pork. It was a territory that no self-respecting rabbi would ever go into, let alone take his disciples. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. They went there, and when they got out of the boat, something interesting happened. We don't know exactly what they were expecting, at least what the 12 were expecting. We have a hunch Jesus knew what was going on. But the 12, they're sitting there, "Why are you coming over here? What's going on here?" They're met by a man who is their welcoming committee of one. And we're told that he was naked, that he ran around all natural. And not only that, but he didn't live in a house. He lived in the tombs. Think about that. Now that has to be scary in and of itself. But nevertheless, that's the situation. That is what is going on. Jesus steps out of the boat, and that man greets him. I wonder what the disciples were thinking at that point. What in the world is happening? Again, scratching their heads, trying to figure it out. But it's kind of interesting what happens after that. You might have heard it in the gospel lesson that we read. Jesus, Son of the Most High, have mercy on me. Now, if they hadn't scratched their heads at that particular point, they should have been scratching their heads then. Because you see, just an hour or two before that, they were asking the question, who is this? And yet this man who's running around naked and spends his sleep time in the tombs, he is able to identify Jesus. He calls him by name. Jesus, Son of the Most High, have mercy on me. They were saying, who is this? Apparently the man knew. Interesting. Jesus commanded the demons to come out. And what the man showed next was even more exciting. He says, I beg you, do not torment me. Now, if you are one of the disciples, you're one of those 12, what are you thinking at that particular point in time? That's what you deserve, fellow, is to be tormented. If it were up to me, you would know what torment is. But that's not what happens. That's not what happens. He had been tormented. He had been tormented by these demons. He had been tormented by the people who lived in the city. Jesus has mercy on him, and he casts out the demons. I got a hunch right about the time, though, that all this was going on. Those 12 were looking for a way out. Now, again, there's nothing in the Bible that says that, but I'm using my best guess. What would you think if you were in that situation? I know what I'd be thinking. How do I get out of here? I have no idea why you brought us here. This is absolutely ridiculous. And look at this guy. Come on, Jesus. What's going on here? I don't get it. But you see, Jesus had seen something that others maybe didn't see. While they were looking for a way out, Jesus is looking for the man. And he says to him, what's your name? And he said, Legion, for there are many. Jesus knew that he himself held the only hope for a normal life and for salvation for this man who had been possessed. And so he took charge. What we see next is also kind of interesting. The man is transformed. Totally changed. Absolutely different than he ever was before. Extraordinary. Luke said, when the people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. How do you explain it? How do you explain it? There's no other possible explanation than Jesus. That's the only thing that it could be. This man was so far gone, if you will, that he had been given up by the people in the city. I can just imagine, again, what they had said. Ah, let the guy go out there and live among the tombs. He's not going to last much longer out there. And when he's dead, we've resolved our problem. We got rid of him. Let him be. No one except Jesus saw any hope in him. And no one except Jesus saw anything worth redeeming. The last picture of the man is also kind of interesting here in our text. When Jesus got ready to go, he got into the boat along with his disciples. And that man was there. And he said, let me go with you. And Jesus said, no. Rather go home. Go home and tell everyone that you see what happened to you. what God performed for you. Go. Tell them how much Jesus did for you. Well, okay, let's get real practical now. I know some people do not believe in demons. And maybe some of you do not. Tell you the truth, I find it easier to believe in demons than not believe in demons. Turn on your TV, watch a little bit of the news. How else do you explain some of this stuff? I mean, the terrorist attacks, mass killings, mass shootings. I think, for example, the shooting in Las Vegas. I think we all remember that, right? Well, maybe not the real young folks, but the rest of us remember the shooting in Las Vegas. Our government spent, I don't remember how much money, trying to figure out why the shooter did what he did. No answer. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's necessarily demons. I don't know either. I haven't done any research, but I'll tell you this. It's easier to believe, in my opinion, in demons rather than not believe in demons. It's all around us. It's hard not to see. I'm told that some people in church have said, hey, there's even demons in our church. If you look around, you never know. You never know. In light of Satan's assaults, we have to remember that Jesus is for us. And because Jesus is for us, we can live for him. When you encounter Satan, whether it's at work or maybe it's just simply on TV or over the radio, maybe in the newspaper, wherever, you may think there's no way out for our country. There's no way out for you. But Jesus is for you. Jesus seeks you out. Interesting thing about this story. We see no reason why Jesus would have crossed the Sea of Galilee and gone to the land of the Gerasenes at all. Nothing makes sense except to see this man who was possessed by the demons, to see this man and perform a miracle, if you will, of casting out those demons. Why else would he have gone? As far as we know, he didn't speak to anyone. He didn't perform any other miracles across there. In fact, the people of the city were anxious to get rid of him. That's a different story. And we could have spent a lot of time on that as well. But why did he go? He went because there was someone who needed him. And he knew it. Here's the significance of this gospel lesson. The main thing I would hope that you take home with you, if you will, and that is Jesus seeks you out. You may have personal problems, maybe demons, if you will, depression, anger, loneliness, addiction, everything that you can imagine. The list can go on and on and on. You can fill it in for your own self, whatever it happens to be. The fact is, it's not difficult to see or to imagine situations in our lives where hell is in an all-out battle against us. I've been there. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there now. In light of hell's assault on the world, we need to remember that Jesus is for us. That's what this lesson is about. And because Jesus is for us, we can live for him. Jesus is for us. You see, your situation might be one where you see no way out. I got a hunch that's the way the disciples felt when they landed over there. But Jesus is for you. He seeks you out. As far as we can tell, like I said, that's the only reason he went there, to see this man. He sought him out. He gave him healing. He gave him wholeness. He mended his broken life. Folks, Jesus is seeking you out today, right now. And especially if you happen to be going through one of these absolute catastrophes and really difficult situations, Jesus is seeking you out. He's ready to help. He's ready to cure. And he will. In Jesus' name, amen.